Merry Christmas. You can say it back. There we go. Thank you. Christmas is my favorite time of year. Last week we heard some incredible stories from folks exploring Jesus as mighty God, and Marg and James, want to thank you for sharing your stories today. And during the teaching time last week, Rob explored Jesus as everlasting Father, and we were given three exercises to practice during the week. The first one was pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal what it means for Jesus to be the everlasting Father. To think of someone this week who is seeking comfort, ask the Holy Spirit how you can bring the everlasting Father into their life. And finally, what is an area in your life that you need the everlasting Father? Will you ask him for your comfort this week? And today, we want to take some time to share with the folks around us, so we're going to get into groups of how we have experienced everlasting Father. We don't normally do this exercise, so don't panic, but it's a good way for us to get to know each other just a little bit better and to be encouraged. And before we jump into this for a couple of minutes, just know a few things. First, it's okay not to share or to say, I didn't get to the exercise. If you're new, it's okay to say, I didn't get the memo. And it's okay to celebrate what God is doing in other people's lives and in your life. So with the folks in close proximity to you, take a few minutes, introduce yourself, and share your experience from this week. See, I'd interrupt, but in the first service, people just kept talking anyways. So, how to make a pastor feel like a parent? Just keep talking amongst yourselves. Anyways, I'm going to bring it back around. You can keep sharing afterwards. It's totally fine. Grab a cup of coffee if there is one. But for me, the Christmas season has always been a time of peace. Even with all of the activity that can surround the season, I love this time of year. Where I didn't always encounter peace was in my nighttime prayers with my father. When I was really little, we would say a prayer, and then he would, I'd call it his blessing over me for the night. But we would pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The first two lines are wonderful. I loved getting into bed, I loved falling asleep, but there was always a little fear associated with it. And I'm going to blame the last two lines. Why would a little child need to pray that? And I was thinking about the lead singer of Metallica has a song, Enter the Sandman, and I'm sure that he prayed this prayer with his dad also, because in the lyrics it says, sleep with one eye open, clutching your pillow tight. It's also the reason that my dad had to fall asleep with me until I was 11 or 12. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. It's exactly what happened. Pardon? I can't hear you. You can tell me later. Anyways, I'm a little hard of hearing. But then, after the prayer was done, before I would ask him to stay with me, this is what he would say. Good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. But if they do, then take your shoe and hit them till they're black and blue. So not only did I have to worry about my soul being taken, I got to worry about an infestation. And to this day, when I feel creepy crawlies, you know, in bed, or even just a thread, right, a stray thread rubbing up against you, I get the heebie-jeebies. And later on in life, I found out that bed bugs were an actual real thing. Oh, they're gross. Anyways. Yes, it's a little bit funny, but it was true. That's how I thought. There was not a lot of peace falling asleep. Once I was asleep, it was all good. But before that, not so much. But a question for us today, what brings you peace? A deeper question would be, what brings peace to the core of what makes you, you? Because the reality is, we have all experienced times in our life where there is no peace. And somehow at Christmas, when we should be experiencing the peace of Christ, it eludes us. I don't even have to give reasons today. You already know that peace is under attack. We might not even be aware of where that attack is coming from. We just know there's no peace. And it raises the question for us, is peace in this life even possible? There was another group of people that faced this same struggle. What really brought peace? Ancient Israel, of all the nations of the earth, had the title the people of God. And they embraced that title. They were supposed to be God's representatives on the earth to bless the nations, to point people to God. And so they said, yeah, we want to be the people of God. But that title came with a relationship with God that no other nation shared. And like can so happen in human relationships, one party, the Israelites, abused that relationship and their position as God's people. So a prophet named Isaiah was sent by God to proclaim judgment on them. And he said that they would be removed from the land for a time because they had moved away from God. They had started worshiping other gods. And so they would be removed from the land, but not without hope. Someone would be sent to restore that peace, to restore that relationship. And that brings us to the fourth name we're looking at today, Prince of Peace. So let me read from Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the greatness, this continues in verse 7, "of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This name, Prince of Peace, is the fourth name given to Jesus in this prophecy. And in Hebrew, the words are Sar Shalom. So you can say it with me, Sar Shalom. I'm not a Hebrew speaker, but that one was easy, so I was like, yeah, we can all say it together. But with the first time we see, this word is actually two words, Sar and Shalom. And the first time we see the word Sar, the root of it is in the name Sarai. It means woman of rank, who would be renamed Sarah by God. And Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and together they were the foundation of the people of Israel. And how we see it used later in the book of Isaiah, it's often translated as captain or leader or commander or officer. Jesus is the commander of peace, the captain of peace. And it's an interesting idea that a word that is mostly used for a military position is attached to the deepest word for peace, shalom, in the Hebrew language. And it's only when we start to understand this commander, do we experience the peace he so freely gives? When our outward world is falling apart, he can give us an inward peace. And my own life is a testimony to this. I have a physiological anxiety disorder. My body is always on high alert. My heart rate is always elevated. But Lisa and I were out for a walk a couple of weeks ago, and she said, where's your anxiety at? And I hadn't thought of that question for a while. And we rate things from 1 to 10 in our house. And I was able to say, it's a 2. And in my times with God, he has met with me and brought peace, at least to my brain, to my mind. And I can't take credit for it. My body, I can still feel it. It works against me. But my mind is being renewed by Christ and his power, and hopefully my body will catch up one day. But it hasn't always been that way. Sometimes the commander of peace has taken away the peace to get my attention, to draw me back to him, but not in a way that I felt condemned, But in a way, through the guilt of my sin and the broken relationship, I turned back to him and peace was restored. The brokenness in our relationship was healed by him because he is the commander, the prince of peace. So is he your commander? Is he your prince? The second part of this name is Shalom. And this is more than just a peaceful feeling we get. The closest we can translate it is peace in our language. But it's so much bigger than and has so much deeper meaning than that. And I would encourage you to listen to Ken Esau. He spoke here in September of 2017. The sermon's on our website. It talks about the God of Shalom. And he explores it in much greater depth than we can today. But he says it's the state of complete health, harmony, and wholeness between God and people, people and each other, people and creation. And this state, it cannot exist without the presence of love, righteousness, justice, and holiness. So it is a rest and comfort. It is something that can happen now and something that will be experienced completely when Christ comes again. And too often we try to ease our lives, to create peace for ourselves at the cost of others. It's a manufactured peace. If I fight with my wife and we call each other names in front of our kids and it becomes this repeated thing where we abuse each other that way, our kids see it. And sometimes what our kids will do is they'll back up and they'll go, I need to not act that way so that I don't get called names like that. And they step back. And we look at our kids and we go, oh, look how peaceful they are. They're really behaving. When in fact, it's a false peace. It's a manufactured peace. But we think they're behaving, so life is going to be good for them. But it doesn't last. In the book of Isaiah, just a little later on in Isaiah 39, King Hezekiah, one of the kings over Judah, he had been sick and God had healed him through a miracle. And some the king of Babylon heard about this and he sent emissaries to go and congratulate him on being healed. And Hezekiah in his pride showed these emissaries from Babylon everything in his palace, in his country, all his armories, all of his gold, all like everything that he had, he showed them, which isn't a good idea when this could potentially be an enemy. And so Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, because you've done this in your pride, your children, their descendants, will be sent into exile in Babylon. They will become eunuchs. And King Hezekiah said, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good, because he thought there will be peace and security in my lifetime. So he had a manufactured peace that it wouldn't affect him. But he didn't think about the peace he needed to extend to his children. So how do you need to experience the Prince of Peace this Christmas? Because Jesus wants to guide us, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And you see it in the life of Christ. You see this emotion of how he wants to give peace to people. One day he was approaching Jerusalem, and when he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The Sar Shalom does not want peace to be hidden from us. He wants us to experience it, to know it, to live from it. So how do we start? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 gives us a good place to start. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what step can I take this week? There's two things I think we can Well, one thing we can stop doing, one thing we can start doing. Stop trying to create peace. Stop trying to manufacture peace. And start following the Prince of Peace. I've talked to a few people this Christmas, because Christmas does bring out the worst in us as family, am I right? And friends. And they're dreading the time that they're going to have with their families because there's hurt and there's abuse and there's name calling. And they know it's going to come. But what they've done is they've surrendered themselves. And they said, I follow Jesus. And yeah, some of those things will hurt. But I'm not going to create a false peace and pretend everything's good. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Christ and follow him and be an agent of peace in my family. And that's not an easy step to take. That's a hard road. But Christ will meet with them. And to help us get a picture of this Prince of Peace at work in our world, I want to invite Joel and Stephanie Berg, who are part of this family. We help support them in their work in China, and I just want to invite them to share along this theme of peace.
My wife's the better public speaker, but she's graciously given me the opportunity to come up here. She's going to coach me at a distance. We are Joel, my wife Stephanie over there. We, for those of you that don't know us, we grew up attending Westwood, and this has been our home for forever. But we've been away for the last 5.5 years. We've been living in China and are just back here for Christmas, and it's such a privilege. Even though we've been gone a lot, this really is our family, and this feels like home. And so we love to come back and get any opportunity to reconnect, especially over a season like Christmas. It's really special. And Craig asked us to share a little bit about how this idea of the Prince of Peace connects with stuff that we've been experiencing, which if you look at what's going on in the world these days, it seems pretty obvious that China's not a picture of peace right now, and that's been a big part of our experience these last bunch of months. But it's a really, this whole subject of Prince of Peace, it's not just this kind of out there concept, like a theological theory. It's deeply personal, and as I was reflecting on some verses connected to peace earlier this morning, it really struck me actually how personal this whole thing about peace is. And I want to read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." It's this promise of peace, but it comes in the context of connection with Jesus. And then I was also thinking about in Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And a friend of ours recently pointed out to us, I don't know why I didn't notice it many, many, many years ago, but she said, do you ever realize it says the fruit of the Spirit? It's not the fruit of your hard work. It's not the fruit of your effort. It's not the fruit of your focused attention. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a product of the Spirit in your life. And so there's this deep connection between peace and relationship. And even that term, the Prince of Peace, I was thinking about it. It's this idea, the prince, like Craig said, this commander, this leader, ruler, a prince. And I was thinking about that term, and I thought, well, then for us, if we choose to come under his leadership, under his authority, that would make us subjects of peace. And it would put us in a position of also expanding peace in the world. We would also be representatives of peace in that kingdom. And so as we've been in China this last bunch of years, that we realized, okay, it's not just peace, but whatever authority you choose to come under, you will empower that thing through your life. And so if you come under the authority of peace, you will become part of the expansion of peace in the world. But if it's something else, say fear, then you will also empower the expansion of fear through your life. And for us, we really feel like that's been what's been happening in China this last year. And we really genuinely believe that the leadership in China wants peace. They want to see their country prosperous. They want to see it succeed. They want it to be safe. They don't want to worry about its future. But they're not in line with the Prince of Peace. And so the efforts that they are making towards producing peace are based on fear and are coming through control. And it's producing the very thing that they don't want. It's producing fear because they've come and they've put themselves under the authority of fear. And for us, we find ourselves caught in this tension between these two things. We're living in a culture where this is increasingly obvious, but we have chosen to put ourselves under the authority of the Prince of Peace. And so in October, this really hit home for us because there was a crackdown on missions work across the country. And a whole bunch of people in our community were taken by the police and questioned and then escorted out of the country. And there was this real sense of fear, particularly for 3 or 4 days. Nobody knew what was going on or who were they after, who were they going to take next. And we just felt our whole community, there was just this wave of fear that came over us. But because as a community, we've so invested ourselves into this commitment of looking like, thinking like, acting like Jesus, it was pretty quick. Even though this fear felt really strong, it was pretty quick we realized this doesn't fit us. It's like a wrong size t-shirt. You can't wear it very long before you go, this isn't who we are. And so as a community, we really rallied together to help each other, because often it's difficult or impossible on your own. But we rallied together and we said, no, we are not going to align ourselves with this fear. We are not going to allow this to dictate our thinking, our decisions, our attitudes, and we're going to help each other choose to align ourselves with the Prince of Peace. And it was amazing. I think one of the stories that captures this the most powerfully for me was one of the men who was kind of an elder of our missions community in our city. He'd been there over 22 years. He was one of the first that was taken by the police. And he said the interrogation was a really frightening process and really difficult all around, not knowing what was going to happen. But he said Jesus really met him in that process. And he encountered this peace even in the midst of the questions. And then it got to the end of the time, and they gave him his sentence. They said, you've got 72 hours to get out of the country. And he went and he grabbed the hands of the guy who had interrogated him. And he said, you know what? I need you to know that I love you. And I love your country. And it has been such a privilege to be here these many, many years. And I think that under any other circumstances, you and I would be friends. And this guy just didn't know what to say. He just stood there in shock. And finally, all he could think to say was, you can't say that. And my friend said, no, really, I love you. And I think we'd be friends. And the man just had to walk away because he couldn't think of any way to respond to this. And it was this picture of a situation of fear where someone chose to step out of the normal pattern of the way things should happen, the way we should respond. And he said, no, I am under the authority of the Prince of Peace. And so I'm going to respond to you with peace, even though there's so much in me that would want to respond differently. And it was so powerful. And I think for us, that's that's been part of our experience the last few months, but I feel like in some ways, even though it feels like this kind of far-flung story from the other side of the world, it's exactly the same thing playing out here in Prince George. You may not have an interrogator banging down your door with the threat of making you leave or something, but maybe there's a sickness that's knocking at the door of your family, or one of your kids is in trouble or something like that, and you feel this fear banging at the door saying, I want in, I want access to your mind, I want to control your decisions and your attitudes this Christmas season. And I just feel like there's this invitation from Jesus to come, to step out of that and to say, no, I'm aligning myself with the Prince of Peace. And regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of the fear and how strong it looks, I'm going to choose to submit myself under the Prince of Peace and to allow him to administer that to me. And so I just want to pray for all of you this morning that you would experience that this would actually be the practical, tangible experience for you this season of not just talking about this theory of this Prince of Peace, but that actually he would meet you in the situations that you're facing right now and the fears, and allow you to come under him. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you actually have authority in the realm of peace, and that you can give peace. And I know that in this room we represent thousands of different opportunities to fear, thousands of different ways that the enemy is banging at our doors, but you're stronger, you're better. And we can just step into line with you. We can be subjects of peace. And so we invite you, Jesus, to meet with each of us, to be the Prince of Peace, to be that commander of peace in our lives, that fights for us, that fights with us, and that provides the peace that we need in the situations that we're walking through. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Joel. Why don't we go down here? I'd just like to invite members of the missions team and the prayer team and whoever else feels like coming up. Just want to lift up Joel, Steph, and their family in prayer. So come on forward. Let's pray.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you're here, alive and well and in our midst. We thank you for just the service this morning that it's unfolded. Testimony of you alive and well. We thank you for Joel and Stephanie and their children. And we thank you for their testimony in our midst this morning. Lord, we just pray that they would continue to go deeper in the journey that you have them on. fighting against what comes into their lives with what is much stronger in their lives, and showing people how to do that. We thank you for their example in our midst of that. And as we've just witnessed in your midst, in our midst today, the Prince of Peace, we pray for them, that they would continue to know what it means to live in the Prince of Peace. Joel spoke of this not being something we can manufacture, and we all say amen to that. And we just pray that they would continue to learn what that means to be in you, and thereby not being mastered by the things that so easily come knocking on our door. So as he shared, we pray that exact same thing for them. As he prayed for us, we pray for them. As they join together in this season of rest, coming back home, may it be a rich time for them and their kids. And may it just be a strengthening, a deepening in your love in you. They are in you, and in you there is everything. What more can we pray for them? And we pray that together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Some of us right now, we're wondering, why don't I have this peace in life with relationships with God? And so we try to be good people. We wonder, have we been good enough? What if we can't be good enough? What if we need to stop trying to create peace and start following the Prince of Peace? And when we do that, what happens in our lives when we stop trying to manufacture peace and we start following the Prince of Peace? We become agents of peace in the world. Joel and Steph are called to be agents of peace in China. Where are you called to be an agent of peace? And it's a step of faith. In a devotional, I just want to read this to you. It said this about fear and peace. You've known it all your life. It can wake you up in the middle of the night and sweep over your entire being. It can be about money, the future, or your ultimate inability to protect the child who's in the next room. You might feel better once the sun rises, but fear can crouch there in the back of your heart, just waiting to pounce again. Long ago, one person chose to feel and enter into fear itself, even though you could never experience or imagine it. Couldn't he have saved mankind without going through such intimate horror? Apparently, his love chose not to do so. The resurrected Christ offers words such as these: "My child, I know life will make you afraid, sometimes very afraid, but only remember this: I've overcome even death. So what can the world or people do to you? I am your protection, your peace. I am Jesus." And so as we close our time together, I just want to invite the worship team forward. I just want to pray over us words that Jesus said to his disciples, and he says them to us. And so I just want to invite us to close our eyes, not out of a religious thing, but just to remove the distractions of the people around us and receive this Christmas. Jesus, we rest in your peace. You say to us today, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. You have overcome the world. You have told us these things so that in you we may have peace. Help us to follow you, our Prince of Peace. Amen.
Will you guys stand with us? We just want to sing one more song together.